I'd pay money to see Matt Harvey and Enya hang out too.
Oh my god. Do you think he likes cats?
There is no offseason, a baseball prospectus daily podcast focusing solely on fantasy keeper and dynasty league formats. I am your host, Ben Carsley of the BP Fantasy Team, and I am joined by BP's minor league editor, Craig Goldstein. Good evening, Craig. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Do you
are you recovered?
Well, I was going to say, did you enjoy my secret plan to ship Brett romaine lettuce until he finally ate some and now it's his turn to be done?
Yeah, I think I'm just worried about when it's my turn.
Yeah, well, you know you're coming up next, but I have to think of something else because I know you're not going to eat lettuce.
I was going
to
say, so. I'm not going to eat greens, so.
Yeah.
You have to shred it into like a smoothie or something.
You're going to have to get E. coli the old-fashioned way in some sort of cow-related meat.
Yeah, you can get me to eat your meat. That's well, yeah. I have regret saying that already.
That's good. We're off to a good start. But yes, I am back. Thank you for covering last week. Lots of good things came from the podcast last week. I really like that we're doing the bells now for injured players. That's a big win. I thought George
will rip off anything.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, that should be slightly more amusing to people than when we just made inside jokes about that podcast to each other on this podcast.
Tyler? Yeah.
Quick one. Okay. So we're going to start tonight continuing one of the segments that you and Brett spoke about last week, which is basically people emailing us when they're not quite sure what step they're at in terms of their dynasty contention cycle. So people who are doing very well and they're not sure if they should go all in, or people who are not doing well and they don't know if it's the time to sell off. So we got a few reader emails that we'll break down. Then we are going to talk about some current events headlined by some Juan Soto time, and then a very special edition of Madden or Mad Online.
I'm excited.
Good.
I'm ready to get into it.
Okay, so we'll start with the Should I Sell or Should I Go segment. And our first roster comes from Laura. Laura says she is in an NL-only keeper league, not Dynasty, players have contracts, with an 11 teams auction draft roto. So right off the bat, a weird fucking format. Just very soon into the show. She says her team is in the middle of the pack. And for pitching, she has DeGrom, and in the wings, Reyes, Gohara, Corbin, Tyson Ross. No closers, but Ottavino, Hicks, and Yates as speculative guys. For batters, Story, who looks like is about to be a free agent, Carlos Santana, Lamb, Pham, that's fun, Kane, J.P. Crawford, and Peterson as potential keepers for next year, as well as McMahon and Rogers in the minors. So she is looking for advice as to whether she should sell on Trevor Story and Jacob deGrom and maybe Lorenzo Cain, who seem to all be having expiring contracts except for Cain, who's got one more year, or should she stay put and look to buy? And it says that she has 60 points and first place is in 90 points. So what would you do here, Craig? Would you be selling or would you be trying to make one more run with a stud like deGrom?
Yeah, I think I'd probably maybe look to do one of each. I'd be willing to sell on Story. I mean, I think if you've been listening to this podcast, and you're a host, so probably haven't been listening that much. But I think none of us are really sold on Trevor Story at this point. I mean, the batting average isn't that good. I'm assuming it's the standard roto categories. So he'll give you some power. He's run a little bit this year. He's already equaled last year's stolen base total. But I'm just not convinced he's really a premium asset. And so I guess it depends what you can get for him. But I'd be, given that you're not going to keep him next year, because his contract is run out, I'd definitely be willing to move him and potentially see what else I could get there. DeGrom, I'd probably want to ride out. I understand that there's a lot of teams to climb over and that she's kind of at the bottom end of the teams in contention. I think first place is pretty far out, but it depends. You know, I know in my NL only, it's only 10 teams, but I think we pay out as far down as fourth place. So it depends, you know, what the payout is and what the buy-in is and how much those are worth. I think it also, I got into this with Brett a little bit, but you kind of have to look at the categories and see where you're able to move up and how likely that is to happen, depending on, you know, what you can get from what you sell off or who you're expecting to return. And you kind of have to look at whether that's likely to happen for the teams that you're competing with too, not just first and second place in this situation, but especially the ones that are grouped around 60 to 65 that she described. I mean, you know, I know that's a little bit of a hedge, but it really does matter, you know, what's likely to happen or how many points you think are out there that are kind of on the table. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think that's totally fair. I mean, if you do, I think it's unusual for a 10 or in this case, 11 team league to pay out four spots. I think that's,
yeah, I mean, that's why I said, I know mine does, but it depends.
Right. But so like, I'm going to assume that only the top one or two spots pay out and that the second spot probably isn't crazy lucrative. And if that's the case, I would be willing to sell both. I don't think her keepers for next year are particularly impressive. I mean, but you know, in an NL only league with Reyes and Corbin and maybe Tyson Ross, which makes me a little nervous already, I guess you have an okay starting pitcher nucleus, and there are some interesting offensive players, but this just doesn't strike me as a super strong roster all the way around right now. So I would be trying to turn DeGrom into, you know, maybe two assets that she'd have for 2 or 3 years instead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's fair. It definitely depends a little bit on the payout to me. And yeah, I mean, I don't like Tyson Ross really, but I do think Gahar is probably a worthy keeper depending on how many you're allowed to keep in that situation. Presuming he's pretty cheap at this point.
Right.
But yeah, I think that's probably true. I like Tommy Pham. As she said, Kane is expensive. So maybe you trade him too and really just try and hit the reset button and go in big next year. You know, if you can lower your salary, your budget enough that you can go big next year in the draft, then that's probably the play. You convinced me.
Cool. I am. I'm glad. That doesn't happen very often. So
yeah. Yeah. Well, so thank you, Laura. We appreciate it.
Yeah. All right. Next one is from friend of the podcast, DJ. DJ says, okay, I'm hashtag all in for this year. This is likely my last shot in my contention window due to keeper costs. I fear my Achilles heel might be my relief pitching. Categories are ERA, K per nine, walk per nine, whip, net saves, and it's head-to-head scoring. So he's currently rostering Boxberger, Colome, Betances, Giles, and Davinsky, and Britton is on his DL. Betances and Davinsky were acquired to protect ratios, but Davinsky is now obviously a Giles handcuff as well. He says the situation feels like a ticking time bomb. Which wire should he cut and trade here? I don't think this is a terrible group of relievers. Do you, Craig?
No, we don't. Correct me if I'm wrong. We don't know how big the league is.
That's true. Yeah, I guess if it's a 10-team league, it's a little shallow, but I have 10-team leagues with much worse relief course than this.
Yeah, no, I don't think this is bad. I mean, you have two closers, which I think if you're going to compete in saves in really any league, it really almost doesn't matter how big it is. You need at least two. So you've got two, and Britton coming back.
He's got three because he's got Giles too.
Oh, is Box? I forget Boxberger. I didn't remember Boxberger.
Oh yeah, so Boxberger.
I had Boxberger. Gotcha. I had Giles and Colome. Yeah, he's got three, so that should be fine. I don't know. I mean, none of them are super solid, but
no, but
that's okay.
I think Davinsky is, you know, arguably the top non-closing reliever. So to have him there is great. You also don't have to worry about Giles as much. I guess Peacock could pilfer a few saves, but I mean, overall, I think this is fine. Obviously, DJ should keep sort of trolling the waiver wire and try to pick up some cheaper guys. But I don't think this is any. If this is your Achilles heel, your team's pretty good.
Yeah, And as you said, if you're all in for this year, then like there's nothing in. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know who you'd cut and trade. I mean, I guess the guys you have as protection, because you wouldn't trade saves at this point.
No, I mean, Betances, if anything, but right. Like yeah. to his point, for ratio purposes, you might as well keep him.
Right. And given that the categories are, you know, strikeouts per nine and walks per nine and whip, like that's three categories that those guys can have a decent effect in. I mean, on top of ERA. Yeah, no, I don't understand. This is fine. DJ, you're fine.
Yeah, DJ, you're too hard on yourself here, bud. You're doing well.
Crack open a beer. Take it easy.
All right. So the third email is from Sean. And I like this one because it's a little bit more about sort of theory. So he says, fellas, my angle of not sure what to do is not from the middle, but rather from the top. My team is one of the three best in a 16-team head-to-head points dynasty, but I've been riding high on the coattails of Scherzer and Cole. Scherzer going down late last year killed me. So my question is, when you have a stacked base, do you trade your better prospects to try to strengthen your bench for eventual injuries down the road? Is this a position where you should be more or less aggressive with struggling players, a la Stroman? So I guess my take on this is that's sort of a false choice, because you can just wait until someone does get hurt, right? I mean, I guess if it's closer to the trade deadline, you have a hard decision to make, but I don't necessarily know if trading away some of your best prospects just in case someone gets hurt is a strategy I'd recommend, especially with guys like Scherzer and Cole, who, like, they're pitchers, but I mean, they're fairly durable as pitchers go.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think the other part of this is that, I mean, I wouldn't be targeting a guy like Stroman exactly. And so I've kind of been down on Stroman before. I think he's fun as hell. Just in general, in real life, I love watching him, but like he's never been an elite or close to it fantasy starter. He doesn't miss enough bats. And yeah. This year he's walking a lot of guys. And even if he gets that in order, like he just doesn't miss enough bats to be worth the kind of the hype that surrounds him as a name, because he's a very good pitcher in real life. But again, the way strikeouts have gone in fantasy leagues, he's just not bringing enough to the table to pay the price that people usually assign. And I get that you might want to buy low, but I still think that kind of value is anchored in his name a little bit. And people assume he's going to get back to being something he never was. If that makes sense. So I don't think there's an issue with trading prospects to strengthen your pitching staff, but I wouldn't say your bench, right? Like it depends a little bit what he's doing here, but like if you want to kind of either protect against an injury or just backsliding from someone like Cole, who I still believe in, but you know, if you don't think he's going to be this good, that's okay. And if you want to create depth in your rotation, I think that's fine. But I think you can also do that by trading for, you know, not trading your top prospects and taking guys further down and either packaging them together to get, you know, a solid, you know, mid rotation type starter just to kind of eat innings and even keep your ratios where they're supposed to be, and really let your aces play up in that way, if that makes sense.
Yeah, we're on the same page there. I mean, if you want a 16-team league, so I'm assuming that what, like, you know, 120 prospects are rostered, maybe something like that, maybe 150 at the most. So if you want to trade someone in that 110, 150 range for a bench piece, like, fine. But I wouldn't be giving up anybody. I wouldn't be giving up any premium prospects for guys who are just luxury picks at this point.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that, but if you want to go out and get like a, you know, I just pulled up my TDGX team, but like Brandon McCarthy or someone like that, like who's fine. You know what I mean? Like he's just okay. If you want to go get Ivan Nova, like if you just need innings to backfill and protect against like huge swings, should one of your guys go down, that's fine. But you also don't need to trade anyone good for those guys.
Exactly. Right. All right. So we have some pretty successful listeners, Craig. I mean,
yeah, they're doing better than I am. I'll tell you that much.
Well, it's not going great for us in RDI. No. But it's not really our fault. The pitching is our fault. The offense is not our fault. So they'll always be next year.
Yeah.
Do you have any good teams this year? Well, your team in TDG isn't bad, right?
It's okay. It's taken a few hits. recently. It's kind of getting back on board, but it's not going. I'm actually, I should say that you're ahead of me right now. So it depends what you think of yourself. Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
that's not very promising.
It's bad. Yeah.
No. Yeah. That's not good.
It should be better. So the problem is I'm really good in offense, and then my ERA and WHIP are second to last and third to last. So it's going to cause some problems.
Yeah. Not ideal.
Listen to me about pitching, everyone.
Yeah, this is not really the podcast for you if you are really into Dynasty League pitching. Brett's okay, but it's even his weakness, and not great. So thank you for the listener emails. We're trying to restart this and get a segment going once every, I don't know, 3 or 4 Tinos. So send things in. Also, especially Enya, if you're listening, we would love to hear from you.
Oh, my God.
Either via email or as a guest host. So please feel free, Enya.
Just play us a song.
Yeah. Well, that's Piano Man. That's not Enya.
I could hear her cover it, though.
Oh. Welcome back to episode 109 of Tino. I hope you used that break to throw out all of the romaine lettuce in your house and frankly, in your neighborhood, maybe in your general county. Just get rid of it because the risk reward is not there. It doesn't taste that good to begin with. And if you're not careful, it will poison you for the better part of a week.
Save some time. Put it right in the toilet.
Yeah. Oh, God. And save some pain, too. All right, so before we get into Madden or Mad Online, we felt like it would be a good time to just take a quick trip through the minor leagues and update you guys on some of the most relevant, good and bad news in terms of some key Dynasty League prospects. And Craig, we can't start anywhere other than with Juan Soto.
My large Dominican son.
He's so beautiful.
He's so beautiful, and he's in Double A, and it's wonderful. He's already hit a home run and a double his first game.
Is he 20 yet?
He is 19 years old. He's 6 months away from 20.
Yeah. Is that good?
I'm personally impressed.
remember being half a year away from 20. Those were good days.
Honestly, no, I don't. It's too far in the rear view. You're closer to it.
Yeah. No, well, I don't feel it.
Yeah.
So, Craig, is it Vlad Guerrero Jr. 1 and Juan Soto 2 for you?
I don't know. I know Jeff Paternostro threw that out, I think, on Twitter. I don't think it's insane. I do think that. I mean, it's not. Yeah, I don't know. It's not insane, but I still like. I mean, we're forgetting about Victor Robles, who's hurt, but like he's up there. He has the speed element. If we're looking at fantasy.
Yeah,
I'm not quite ready to go Soto number 2, but I think on a pure talent basis, again, I think we have to treat health as a skill in some capacity, and he's healthy right now, but he was healthy for a decent, for a little bit of last season anyway. And it was looking very good last season too. I think he's in the top 5. I think that's where I can go. Or do you have him up at number 2 already?
I think I'd need to look at everything. I mean, off the cuff, I think I do have him at number 2, but I think I think Robles is a perfectly rational choice. I mean, Eloy Jimenez is also mashing.
He's at a very young age, back healthy. Yeah.
Yeah. So there are plenty of good choices, but I definitely think top 5 is fair for Soto right now.
So you had let me ask. I'll throw this out there. This is going to be off the cuff for you since we didn't talk about it, but. You and Brett had Brendan Rodgers number 4. The reports on him have been pretty middling right now. He's back at Double A. I think the talent is there, but it's not really manifesting itself right now. How far, and then Glaber we'll get to. He was number 6. Tatis Jr. was 7. Senzel 8. So you're skipping Soto over Senzel and Tatis, or?
I mean,
it's reasonable to have him ahead of Rodgers for sure.
Yeah, definitely ahead of Rodgers. I'm actually not super well acquainted with what Tatis has done this year. So he's struggling in double A, which, again, is not crazy given his age and how aggressively he's been promoted. But, you know, he's about the same age as Soto. So if Soto is going to start crushing in double A and Tatis is struggling, you know, despite the position Tatis plays and he has more speed, I think I'd be inclined to go Soto. Senzel, I think, is really sort of the makeup of your team and your contention cycle. Mm-hmm. You know, if you need a win right now, I think you should prefer Senzel because I think he'll be very good as soon as next year. If you're entering a longer rebuild, I'd prefer the ultimate upside of Soto.
Okay, and I'm just going to throw one more name off the top of my head because he was ranked one spot ahead of Soto. He's already at double A. Bo Bichette. He's at 287, 374, 426. 9 stolen bases, but no home runs so far.
Yeah, I have Soto ahead of him.
Okay. Yeah. I think, yeah, I mean, I like I said, I think he's top five. I think Bichette probably is up a decent amount. He's playing shortstop, not even second base, which is a nice little bonus. I don't know. It's definitely an interesting conversation. And this is one of those things that, you know, I know there are a lot of publications that are kind of resetting their 101s or updating them. I think outside of some outlier performances like we're talking about with a guy like Soto, who we knew had this in him, but it was just about seeing it and seeing him be healthy. And I mean, you know, I think we had him at number 12 on a midseason list last year or maybe the year before. Right. So like we knew we had that he had this type of talent. The question is, like, is he going to stay on the field and how aggressive is the team going to be with him? And since he's staying on the field and the team's being aggressive, like it's okay to kind of push him up a little bit. We were just kind of waiting for that permission kind of, you know what I mean? But for the most part, I think it's still a little early to move guys around too much.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Okay. So yeah, that's the large Dominican Sun update. We're probably going to have to do that every week at this point.
Oh,
he's too good.
I think we can have a weekly Juan Soto update. I don't think people would be upset by that.
Beautiful.
So a guy we've talked about on the podcast, I think, a lot this offseason because of where Brett and I ranked him is Austin Riley, mm-hmm. who, you know, sort of people thought was starting to put it together second half of last year, but he still entered this season as raw isn't right, but I think still more tools based than production based. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I mean, I think it was like a question of buying into, like, is this production for real? And, you know, how much of it is for real? Were kind of the questions floating around.
Right.
Because he had that, like you said, he had a great second half. He was much better in double A than he was in high A, which was kind of a bit of a surprise. And you're kind of wondering, like, okay, is that a small sample size thing? Even over, you know, 45, 50 games, like, is that just like a fluke thing? Or is that more representative? And I think we're kind of getting more of an answer right now.
Yeah, I mean, Riley has already been promoted to AAA after hitting quite well in AA. Obviously, the Braves have proven that they are not afraid to promote their young bats pretty aggressively. We can make fun of them all we want for not calling Acuña up out of spring training, but he's still in the majors at a very young age. They were very aggressive in promoting Albies. So mm-hmm. I don't think it's crazy to, you know, see Riley perhaps in the majors by July at this point if he keeps.
What are you trying to say about Jose Bautista's third base defense?
Well, let's just say I haven't seen it this year, and I'm happy with that. I remember.
Yeah, I was going to say if you haven't seen it, that means he hasn't made an embarrassing error.
Or I'm actively trying to avoid it, but
one or the other.
Hmm. So where is Riley for you now, Craig? I mean, is he a top 25 dynasty prospect, 50? I know it's kind of hard to put a precise number on someone at this point, but
I'm probably, again, without having kind of an entire list in front of like who's eligible and who's not, that type of thing, I'd probably say in the 20 to 35 range, if I want to be wider, maybe 20 to 30. I think the changes are real. I'm excited to see him at AAA. I think the other thing, you know, we talk about these guys being young. I mean, Riley just turned 21 in April. Yeah. So he's, I mean, this is, it's really impressive. There were swing changes last season. It's nice to see them carrying forward. There's still some swing and miss. There's always going to be some, but the trade-off is tremendous power, and he has that. The reports that we had from on the prospects team, David Lee, the defense is playable there. You know, I am excited to see him in AAA, and I think it's worth buying in. The thing is, there's no speed. So you have to keep that in mind. And I don't think the ultimate upside is that of Soto. I don't think he has that pure a hit tool. So I think that's kind of the differentiating factor, if you're wondering. But, you know, a third baseman, he's really like kind of the classic offensive profile of a third baseman, where the average is solid. You've got, you know, 25-plus homer power. I mean, in today's MLB, that's probably 30 homer power potential. And that's well worth buying in on. If you bought in, you know, last year or even over the offseason, I think you're probably very happy with what you paid for it at this point.
Yeah, it's a terrible IRL comparison because this guy is a very good defensive third baseman. But I think the hope for Riley from a fantasy point of view is that he becomes Kyle Seager, right? Mm-hmm. Like 260, 270 with, you know, upper 20s, low 30 homers every year.
Yeah, I like that, actually.
Yeah,
I like that a lot.
So I think that's sort of, you know, maybe his 90th percentile outcome or 85th percentile outcome, and looks like he could be in the majors sooner rather than later. So that's pretty exciting.
He's a very exciting guy. I think he's definitely a helium guy this year. Yeah.
Okay, and then you get to talk about next person.
We don't have to spend a ton of time. For people who were wondering, because he's a first round pick, Bubba Thompson, obviously I talked about him a lot heading into the draft. He was promoted to low A this year. So he was in extended spring training, not because of any talent issues or anything like that. I think they just had kind of a log jam. The Rangers promoted Eric Jenkins, who was a first rounder from a few years ago. If people remember the name, he's a speedster. They promoted him to high A, made room for Bubba Thompson. Thompson hit a home run today. This is his second game in full season ball, and he already hit a home run. Again, more speed based than anything. The question is going to be on the hit tool, but obviously early, very early small sample returns that you shouldn't care about at all. Very positive right now. But I was just excited that he's in full season ball.
So we talked about the first rounder who you loved. It's good. It's good news. But for me, it's bad news because poor Jake Berger has retorn his Achilles. So the last 10 to 12 weeks of rehab from the initial injury are out the window, and he's back to square one. And as I put it in Hitlist this morning, I've never felt this bad for a Berger that wasn't about to enter Guy Fieri's body.
I mean, I think Ben, we need to do it, right?
George, give us the bells. For poor Jake Berger's Achilles, if nothing else.
The double stack.
Yeah. You've been saving that one.
Oh, no, all credit to Jeffrey Paternostro. He's been trying to make it happen. He's been a little Gretchen from Mean Girls trying to make that happen.
Gotcha. Well, it has potential, unfortunately.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so more bad news. Go ahead.
No.
Well, I was just going to say more bad news about players who I'd like to be good. Jay Grom is hurt, and this is becoming a theme. So not great when your really young pitcher who's forever away from the majors can't stay on the mound.
Yeah, and am I wrong? He's done for the year, Tommy John.
Tommy John.
Yeah, so it's not just hurt, but that's the whole year. Obviously not a death knell, but you're talking about, you know, he's going to be 20 entering next season and without much of a resume to go on. Obviously the talent could still be there, but there's no real track record. I mean, it's tough. Let me ask you, Ben, like in a fantasy league, are you willing to cut bait on him at some point?
Certainly not in like a TDGX size league. You know, I'm in 10 team dynasty leagues where, you know, you're really only rostering 70 or 80 prospects across the game. And in that type of league, absolutely. You know, I think of like, I think Brett and I put Anderson Espinoza as our literal 101 prospect this year, just as sort of like a, hey, don't forget about this guy. And I think that's sort of like, you know, a best case for Grom's ranking if you're looking at the 2019 list.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's fair.
Yeah.
Are we giving him bells? Are we at the point of our bells for Grom?
No. I think Tommy John equals bells, no matter who has it. Well, it wouldn't be a Tino episode without a Wander Javier update. So the Wander Javier update is Wander Javier is hurt. Well, should we be specific which Wander Javier?
No, I think we should keep him in suspense.
Okay, fine. All of your Wander Javier are hurt.
the Javier. No, this one, Dusty from Colorado, leave us the fuck alone, man.
Yeah, it's not our fault.
It's not our fault. He's done for the year. Torn labrum in his right shoulder. It's bad news. And I think, I don't know. What else? Obviously, it's bad news. I don't know. Just bells and move on.
Yeah, I think bells. George, thank bells. You again. Okay.
Thank you. Yep. And last update. We're going to eliminate the suspense. This is not a bells situation. Thank God. It's getting a little depressing. But Nate Pearson, who was getting a ton of helium, heading into the season, I mean, he was hitting upper 90s, triple digits. He was looking really good. He was I don't know if he was a second round pick or a supplemental first. I'm blanking on it. But for the Blue Jays, he was a little banged up to start the year. Finally got back out on the mound and promptly got hit with a comebacker, broke his ulna. So he's going to miss 6 weeks or so.
Never good. Never want to break your ulna. No.
No. I prefer to have my ulna intact.
Strong.
It's a personal preference, Ben. I'm sorry.
Yeah, we don't want to own the shame anyone here. That's true.
No, I mean, if you know.
Yeah, so not great. That was depressing. But
yeah, that was tough.
Hopefully we'll be back in a week or two with some more positive minor league news. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, there should be more promotions and whatnot as we're heading towards June.
That's true. That's true. Okay, so we want to wrap up tonight with Madden or Mad Online.
Everyone's favorite game show that no one understands.
Yeah, including the hosts. So that's always.
Yeah, it's really dicey. Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
Why don't you kick us off? I know you've been raring to go.
All right. Well, I know I'm supposed to have two. I'm supposed to have one Madden and one. Matter.
You just present whatever you want.
All right. Well, that's good because I'm Mad Online twice this week, and we're gonna start with David Price because. Because of David Price and Boston, I've been mad at everybody now. Last year, I wrote a piece about how I just wanted Boston fans to shut the fuck up because it seemed like they were like happy when Price was hurt, almost like just wanting a reason to boo this guy and inventing all sorts of things like, oh, the Red Sox put him on the DL so he wouldn't have to face the Yankees and he's not actually hurt and blah, 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 even though he led the league in innings pitched the year before. So it's not really a mystery to understand where that boo-boo might have come from. So I've been a pretty staunch David Price, really defender. He's not my favorite player by any stretch, but I just hated the logic of bashing him so much that I've been sort of firmly in his corner. Mm-hmm. And then there's today. And he was removed from his last start because he sort of lost feeling in his hand. Not the first time this has happened. And it was revealed he has carpal tunnel syndrome. So now there's a big stupid thing in the Boston media where people are trying to blame him playing like Fortnite, basically, on carpal tunnel syndrome. So that's whatever. That's just very classic Boston media. And that's actually not.
Yeah, it's very very beer and fried chicken. Isn't it?
It is very. It's people. The Red Sox are good, so they're desperate for something to sort of pick apart here.
Can I just say this, Ben, real quick though? Like they could have said the injury was caused by anything. Like they could have made something up. I mean, they didn't have to allude to the video games and all that.
They should have said beer and fried chicken.
Yeah, I don't think
the Red Sox alluded to video games, did they? I thought it was the media.
Well, I mean, they were talking about it. Like, Cora was talking about him playing Fortnite, and it's a thing guys do. Guys play FIFA in the video games. Like, they could have. They didn't have to come out and say carpal tunnel. Like, I don't know.
Now I'm mad at the Red Sox, too, George. I mean, add the Red Sox to the list, because you're right. They should have had a better story.
Right. Exactly.
God damn it. But anyway, that's not even why I'm mad. Why I'm mad is because then, after all this shit that's going around, after I have defended David Price for a year and a half, David Price comes out today, clearly not thinking about me and what this would do to my past takes, and basically says he cut a bullpen short because he had allergies. So now I'm mad at David Price, too. because of all the real things I've defended, and now he's coming out and admitting that he cut a bullpen short after skipping a start against our biggest rival because there's fucking pollen in the air. So I'm mad at David Price. I'm mad at the Red Sox. I'm mad at myself. I'm mad at Red Sox fans.
Hold on. I need to set the record straight. Were you or were you not just complaining about pollen?
I would not. I'm still doing the podcast. Did I cut the podcast short?
I don't know. This could be a quick episode. I don't know.
Okay. Well, I'm also not making $217 million. And also,
there it is. If that's why
you're cut, just don't say it. Just don't. No one's going to know if you cut a bullpen short. Just shut up. You're not doing yourself any favors, and we're going to be stuck with him for 4 more years because he's not going to opt out because no one's going to pay him again, and it's just going to be the fucking worst. Yeah. You might as well put Drew on the back of his jersey at this point.
So David Price talked to the media today. We're recording this on Thursday, and I honestly have no idea why he elected to do that. The quotes are outrageous, and to give you credit, Ben, I think you've been very rational about David Price for a long time, but this latest issue, I think, just kind of pushes it over the top. Like, it's totally fair to be upset about him. And this isn't the first time David Price has dealt with allergies either. There's a great story from the Tampa Bay Times, which is from 2013. Okay, David Price had issues with allergies in Tampa. And the quote from Price today was, he said he's found out that he's allergic to the following: grass, dogs, which he has two of, by the way, cats, and when it gets cold, and then it gets hot. So the story.
Oh, so we have a baseball player who can't be outside.
Yeah. So he said he cut short the throwing session in Texas because his quote, "My allergies were destroying me. I couldn't see and I could barely breathe." So that's great. He can't pitch when it's cold, when it's hot, or when there's a hint of pollen in the air. But this story...
Or when there's grass.
Yes. So hopefully...
A baseball player can't pitch when there's grass.
Yeah. So,
wait, I'm going to give him some credit for being a pitcher and standing on one of the areas on the field that is not grass.
Yeah, this explains why he was better as a Ray, because that shit heap of a stadium is at least insulated. Yeah, so
they don't cut AstroTurf. So.
Good tweets. I'm going to throw that out there. He's had some...
So, Ben, you'll like this. The story from 2013, it says, quote, "Price said part of the problem, which was uncovered by the clubhouse manager of the Rays, was that a new chemical mix in the injection system for the laundry machine in the clubhouse. He said it was transferring to the shirts, towels, and other gear, resulting in rashes, hives on his arms, neck, and head. As a precaution, all of Price's clothes, workout gear, and towels would have to be washed separately from the rest of the team."
I'm genuinely surprised the Rays can afford that.
True. They had to cut a guy to make that happen. But, I mean, it's...
They traded Corey Dickerson.
I was going to say, that explains the Corey Dickerson move.
Yeah. Anyway, David Price needs to take a Claritin and shut the fuck up, basically.
Yes. Yep.
I'm going to interject really quickly, just while we're on the topic. I'm going to give my Madden moment of the week to Mark Normandin for creating a meme. He used the boyfriend meme, the one where the guy's looking away. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Where I'm going to go right to left. So the upset girlfriend is winning the World Series after 86 years, then humbly evolving from lovable loser to into respected victor. The boyfriend is Red Sox fans, and he's looking up and down, being the absolute worst. So...
Yeah, that's pretty fair. You'll get no argument from this Red Sox fan.
Yeah, no, I thought it was well done. It was well crafted. It was funny because it was true, and I appreciate that. So my Madden moment goes out to Mark.
Did Mark immediately ruin it by tweeting about wrestling?
I don't know.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, it was in an article, is what he created it for. So I didn't have to bother with the tweets.
Gotcha. I'm happy for you.
Yeah, thank you. So I'm going to let you hop right back on that high horse, my friend.
Me?
Yeah.
Well, my other man, I'm just mad at myself / the universe. So I, as people can probably tell from this podcast, I will occasionally delve in light sports gambling. And it is usually pretty stupid. Like, I routinely bet $10 on CJ Cron not getting a hit this year, and I'm actually coming out ahead. So I'll make lots of really stupid prop bets like that. But I've been getting a little carried away, I felt like. So I decided not to put any more money into DraftKings this year, which I think I can say because they don't sponsor us anymore. So decided not to put any more money into DraftKings, and I was just going to sort of play out the string with like the $21 or whatever I had left from the last baseball and football seasons. So I've been doing terribly because fuck my life, and I was down to 50 cents. So I'm down to 50 cents on, it was Monday night or Tuesday night. I think it was Tuesday night. And they, to their credit, they have 25 cent like arcade versions, which is basically a version of their game for dumb people. You pick like, you pick four hitters and one pitcher, and you know, it's only a quarter, so anybody can do it. So, okay, might as well, right? I fucking won. Of course, I win. Out of 2,600 people, I come in first place, and then there's a times 200 multiplier for first place. So I won $50. Do you know how many hundreds?
That's pretty good.
Do you know how many hundreds of times I have played $5, $10, or $20 games?
I don't.
More. Too many. Too many times. And I can't get anything better than a fucking like times 10 multiplier at very best. So I wait until I am playing with a literal fucking quarter to come in first. And you know, it'll never ever happen again. And I hate it and I don't enjoy it. And instead of cashing out, I'm just back on the horse again today doing $10 games until I run out again.
Do they do 200 multipliers for $10 games? I would assume not.
I would imagine if the pool is big enough, if it was like a, you know, if it's like a 16,000 person game or whatever, I would imagine they do stuff like that. Right. Yeah, but fuck me, basically. I was more upset about it a few days ago.
Yeah, you were really hot. Yeah.
I was, well, because okay, then I'm like mad and sweating, and it's like 12, it's 12:15 at night, and I'm watching Jose Abreu, or not Jose Abreu, I'm watching George Contos pitch to the bottom third of the White Sox order, because if Jose Abreu even gets back up to the plate again, I lose, because plate appearances are a fucking point in this stupid thing, and I'm 0.6 points ahead. So now I'm like staying up past my bedtime to see if I win an extra $25, not sure if I'm more mad if I lose or don't, and it was just a very trying time for me. But
you were mad about the decisions you've made. So it didn't matter one way or the other.
Yeah, but then I couldn't let it go. That once I got over the fact, I was mad.
That doesn't sound like you.
I was mad that I was winning. But I wanted to win still.
Yeah.
Which actually is very Boston.
You contain multitudes.
Yeah. They're not good, though.
Fuck me, comma, basically, is a strong front runner for the episode title.
And also my grave.
Yeah, I was going to say really Ben's epitaph. all right, I don't know if this is, I can't even decide if this is a Madden or a Mad Online moment, but I think we have to address the Mets batting out of order.
Yeah, we do.
I know, it's part of me thinks it's like genius, right? Because the Mets have been tanking. They gave up like 6.5 games in a 9-day period to the Nationals or something like that, in terms of the standings. Everything's in disarray, which is very Mets. And then I feel like, do you think it was like Mickey Callaway was like, listen, I'm going to take the heat off of my players and make this about me and my mistakes?
No.
Not even, like, there's not even a chance?
No, I'm not. Because that would be like a coherent thought. From someone on the Mets, that would be like a strategic decision.
Callaway isn't bad so far. I feel like.
I mean, he handed in the wrong lineup card. That's bad.
Okay, but I'm saying that might have been a galvanizing move where everyone rallies around him because they realize he is one of them.
It's like when the coach gets tossed in a basketball game. He's trying to fire up the team. Yeah, I see what you're saying.
He's trying to fire up the team and say, "I'm like you. I also make the most basic of mistakes."
No part of you believes this, Craig.
No
part of you believes this.
I don't understand. It's baffling. Although I guess it happened to Craig Counsell his first year as a manager too, in 2016. But yeah, I don't know. I got nothing on that. It's just, it's extremely Mets. I feel like we had to bring it up.
I picture when Matt Harvey heard about it, him just like smiling and reclining and like ordering another bottle of champagne to his room. Like, I can't imagine anything that would make him happier.
Well, speaking of Matt Harvey, so they trade him, right? And I think this is I think I could get to Matt online about it. I'm not actually mad, but I think it's absolutely nuts that the Reds gave up. I mean, look, Devin Mesoraco sucks, right? That's fine, whatever. Mm-hmm. But they were paying Devin Mesoraco $13.125 million this year. They trade him for Matt Harvey, who is not only terrible, but as far like has a bad attitude, doesn't want to be not terrible, or like wants to be, but doesn't want to try and get there. You know what I mean? And they choose like they don't unload any money in that deal. They're now paying $13.125 million for the pleasure of having Matt Harvey on their team in Cincinnati. What do they think is going to happen when he meets Skyline Chili? Do they think that's going to go well? The guy had a problem holding in his urine. What's he going to do with that?
Well, he's not going to have a choice, I'll tell you. maybe it's a genius plan.
And wait a minute. On top of all of this, the Mets were in Cincinnati, right, when the trade happened?
Yeah.
But Matt Harvey was not with the Mets because he had been DFA'd, right?
I believe that is correct.
They are meeting. So Cincinnati starts a series in L.A. tonight. Matt Harvey just had free time in L.A. That's a bad situation.
It probably went by quickly for him.
Yeah. Or it's still not over. He might not have met the team yet, honestly. They might have met him, but he didn't meet them.
Do you think he knows?
Might not remember. He might not remember it.
Yeah. I don't think so. Yeah.
I don't think he knows
that the trade has happened.
Yeah, I don't think he knows that he's a Red yet.
He's just gonna be like, hey, why are we all wearing red?
Yeah, or he's gonna think he's in AAA. I don't think he's going to really appreciate it.
That's the funny part of all of this. Matt Harvey turned down a trip to Vegas.
Yeah, that was a huge mistake.
Shock of all shocks. What the hell?
Oh, man.
Yeah, wow. Ben, I would have lost a $10 prop bet on that.
Yeah.
If Harvey gets a free flight to Vegas, he turns it down. Unbelievable.
See, there's a part of me that wonders, like, maybe the Reds view this as an opportunity to say, we're going to let Matt Harvey do whatever he wants for 4 months or whatever and figure out whether he wants to keep doing this or not. I don't know. There's a part of me that thinks of it that way. We have nothing to lose.
He's going to go be a free agent.
I don't know. I guess
they're hoping to get like 7 good starts out of him and then flip him for a C prospect.
Yeah,
I mean, maybe. I assume that's the plan, right? Because, like, you're not going to do that with Mesoraco. And I get that. But, come on.
Yeah, I mean, also, I don't have a problem giving up Devin Mesoraco, who is as bad as he looks.
No, but it's
like,
more...
Like, face-wise.
Yeah, ugliest player in baseball, right?
Yeah, got it. Not good.
Got it. No, and I don't have a problem giving him up. But it's more that, like, they were already... I don't know. Just, like, acquiring Matt Harvey to pitch in Great American Ballpark is a so horrible good. Idea. I mean, and like they literally yep. know what this looks like because they're paying Homer Bailey to pitch in a Great American Ballpark.
I think Homer Bailey is significantly better than Matt Harvey at this point.
but you know, if the Rays had traded for Matt Harvey, it would have been brilliant.
Wow.
Oh, who'd they give up? God, there'd be fucking there'd be 3 books about it already.
No, I don't know. I said this on Twitter, but like just. The guy being named the Dark Knight, being traded to a rotation that also has the guy who looks like Christian Bale.
Is amazing.
Yeah, it's fantastic. And they're both terrible. It's amazing.
Do you think Matt Harvey will get better if Joey Votto stops walking and finally starts driving in some runs?
I would pay real money to watch them interact.
Yeah, I would too.
I would really like to see that.
I can't think of anyone who's less there for it than Joey Votto. He is just not gonna.
Or like, I could see Joey Votto being like super nice and Canadian and like very eloquent and saying something nice and welcoming Matt Harvey to Cincinnati and blah blah blah. And Harvey just like being like, "What? Who are you? Do you have any cocaine?"
Yeah.
It's like, listen, man, I'm trying to score, so.
Oh, dude. That's all I want now is to watch the two of them interact.
Yeah. Yeah. I will tune in for his first game just to. I would pay for a camera on Joey Votto, just his face, watching just him reacting to whatever Matt Harvey does.
Well, we know what that face is because Joey Votto's been dead inside for 6 years, so it's just going to be the same vacant stare. Yeah.
Although he did beat out Albert Pujols for the MVP award in 2010, we all learned.
Yes, that is true. Great.
Yeah, he's very proud of that. So yeah. that's something.
I'd pay money to see Matt Harvey and Enya hang out, too.
Oh, my God. Do you think he likes cats?
I don't think he has a say in it.
Is he allergic to cats, though? That's the bigger question.
Yeah. Oh.
Welcome back to episode 109 of Tino. As always, we'll send you out with a little housekeeping. You can follow this podcast on Twitter at Tino Podcast and get in touch with us through email at tinopodcast@gmail.com. You can find Brett Sayer at BrettSayerBP on Twitter. You'll find Craig at CD. That's CD as in
Claritin Dosage.
Goldstein. You can find our producer, George, at George Bissell, and you can find me at Ben Carsley. Thank you for listening, and have a good night. Yeah, George, let's get some bells for clear sinuses.
It's a good outro.
That was good, Ben.
Guys, look at us, like exactly an hour.
Yeah, very good.
1 hour podcast, air horn. Bah, bah, bah. Bah, bah, bah,
bah. that was not terrible.
Thank you. Yeah. I have a chat dedicated to the air horn noise. I work on it.
I used to have an app on my phone.
Oh, I don't have an app, but I literally have a group chat from my school friends that is named Fwe.
Oh, you've told me this story before.
Yeah, yeah. It's not a good story.
No, wasn't.
I mean, I knew that. I was aware.
I couldn't even fake it. No. It was not.
Flamed.